the door swung open, and the sudden daylight made them blink. Then, with a great shock, they saw they were looking not into a deserted attic, but into a furnished room. But it seemed empty enough. The room was so quiet that you noticed the ticking of the clock at once. Polly's curiosity got the better of her. She blew out her candle and stepped into the strange room.
Polly, where are you going?
It's all right. There's no one here.
It was shaped, of course, like an attic, but furnished as a sitting room. Every bit of the walls was lined with shelves, and every bit of the shelves was full of books. A fire was burning in the grate, and in front of the fireplace, with its back towards them, was a high-backed armchair. Between the chair and Polly, and filling most of the middle of the room, was a big table piled with all sorts of things. Printed books, and books of the sort you write in, and ink bottles and pens and sealing wax, and a microscope. But what she noticed first was a bright red wooden tray with a number of rings on it. They were in pairs, a yellow one and a green one together, then a little space, and then another yellow one and another green one. They were no bigger than ordinary rings, and no one could help noticing them because they were so bright. They were the most beautifully shiny little things you can imagine.
Well, this is no good. It's not an empty house at all. We'd better leg it before anyone comes.
Listen, Diggory. Do you hear that?
What?
Listen. That humming sound. I think it's coming from these rings.
Oh, come on.
The sooner we... Oh!
Diggory never finished what he was going to say, for at that moment, the high-backed chair in front of the fire moved suddenly, and there rose up out of it, like a stage play demon coming up out of a trapdoor, the alarming form of a man. He was very tall and thin, with a long, clean-shaven face, a sharply pointed nose, and extremely bright eyes beneath a great, tousled mop of grey hair.
Uncle Andrew!
Hello, my boy.
Oh, I don't think we went far enough, Diggory.
I think you went just the right distance. Splendid. There. Now my fool of a sister won't be able to interrupt us.
Run, Polly. Back through the rafters.
Oh, no! You just got here. Why leave me so soon? I'm delighted to see you. Two children are just what I wanted.
Please, Mr. Kettley. It's nearly my dinner time and I've got to go home. Will you let us out, please?
Oh, not just yet. This is too good an opportunity to miss. You see, I'm in the middle of a great experiment. I've tried it on a guinea pig, and it seemed to work. But then a guinea pig can't tell you anything. And you can't explain to it how to come back.
Look here, Uncle Andrew. It really is dinner time, and they'll be looking for us in a moment. You must let us out.
Must? Oh, well, yes. If you really want to go, I suppose I should let you. I can't expect two youngsters like you to find it much fun talking to an old duffer like me. You've no idea how lonely I sometimes am. But no matter. Go on.
Well...
Oh, but I must give you a present before you go. It's not every day I see a little girl in my dingy old study, especially, if I may say so, such a very attractive young lady as yourself. Wouldn't you like one of those rings, my dear?
What? Do you mean one of those yellow or green ones?
Yes, though not a green one. Can't give them away just now. But I'd be delighted to give you any of the yellow ones. With my love. Come and try one on.
They are lovely.
Yes, they are.
Polly, well, listen. That humming noise is coming from the rings.
What a funny thought, my dear. There you go. Just try on that yellow one there.
Polly, don't be a fool. Don't touch them.
But...
It was too late. Immediately, without a flash or a noise or a warning of any sort, there was no Polly. It was so sudden and so horribly unlike anything that had ever happened to Diggory, even in a nightmare, that he did what any of us would have done under the circumstances.